From the very beginning, the human race can be characterized by rebellion. It almost seems to be an underlying theme throughout Scripture. Beginning in paradise, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, with everything that they could want, only one thing denied, and yet they put forth their hand to that one thing in rebellion against God. They chose not to submit to God and to His will. Their son Cain also refused to obey God, and he murdered his brother. Then God commanded man to scatter. Fill the earth, multiply. But refusing to submit to God, determined not to scatter, they built a tower to heaven. Throughout its history, Israel also was continually unsubmissive and rebellious to God. So much so that God refers to them many times as a stiff-necked and rebellious people. And you see this rebellious spirit in resistance to Moses' leadership. He's delivered them by the hand of God from bondage in Egypt. And yet immediately they start grumbling and complaining and rejecting his leadership. Even his own sister rose up against him. They get into the land of promise, a land flowing with milk and honey, of vineyards that they did not plant. And yet, rather than submitting themselves to God's will and God's commands, we are told that they did that which was right in their own eyes, but evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then under the leadership of kings, whether good kings or evil kings, they rebelled against God, they disobeyed His law, even to the point where God took them out of the land into captivity. And then the Son of God Himself comes to them, walked among them and did miracles and mighty deeds, spoke great and mighty words, but they rose up against Him, would not hear Him, and crucified Him. We find the same unsubmissive spirit in the New Testament, where we see unbelief, rejection of God's commands, rebellion against God's authority, rejection of the apostles who have God's authority. Paul writes to the church in Galatia, "I'm astounded that you have so quickly turned away from the gospel." And these are believers, the people of God. As we look at the world, it's even worse. Think Justin Bieber. One of the characteristics of fallen man from the very beginning, whether regenerate or not, is an unsubmissive spirit, a rebellious spirit towards authority, whether God's or whether man's. This spirit of autonomy is also rampant within the evangelical church and reformed churches today. We see it in so many areas. Churches that have no membership, no accountability, no discipline. People that do not want to hear the faithful preaching of God's word, but they want their ears tickled. And Christians are doing that which is right in their own eyes, not submitting the authority of God, to God's word, to His church, even to sound doctrine, and rejecting loving shepherding. The spirit of autonomy, of independence, of self-expression is alive and well in the world today and in the church of Jesus Christ. If there is anything contrary to our sinful natures, It is the command in our text, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, to submit to one another. It's rejected outright or ignored by the world and by Christians. Paul admonishes us to, he says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Now, the actual command you will recall from last week is back in verse 18, where Paul commands, and this is the imperative, to be filled with the Spirit. And then, being filled with the Spirit, he explains, being controlled by the Spirit of God, means certain things are going to result. It will be seen in our speech. And the believer will have scriptural language in his speech rather than profanity and the speech of the world. The believer's heart that is in submission to the Holy Spirit will be a joyful heart, a singing heart, a heart where there is a melody flowing. And there will be an attitude that is thankful, Paul says, for all things, not just the good things. Recognizing the perfect, loving sovereignty of God. Now in verse 21, we come to the fifth characteristic of yielding control to the Holy Spirit, and that is submitting. So Paul is saying that as you are yielded to the Holy Spirit, as you are controlled and filled by the Holy Spirit of God, you will be submitting to one another. This word submitting means to order oneself under, or to place yourself under. Those filled by the Spirit will place themselves under others. Really contrary to our natural thinking. We naturally want to place ourselves on the top. There's a desire deep within us, even as Christians, to rule over others, to have our way, rather than to place ourselves under those around us. In our flesh, we tend to be assertive of our rights, assertive of our ideas and our desires, seeking our own ends. Often with the attitude of, well, you can't tell me what to do. And Christians are as guilty of this as the world. And that's why we have church fights. Just like the church at Corinth. The unsubmissive spirit was so bad in the church at Corinth that they were suing one another in the civil courts to settle their differences. But Paul is saying this sort of spirit, this unsubmissive spirit, should not be characteristic of believers. Rather, as we yield to the Spirit of God, we will have a submissive spirit toward others in the Lord. Jesus put it this way. He said, if you want to be a follower of me, take up your cross daily. If you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ, you must willingly take up your cross. That is, die to self. Paul put it this way to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. God calls us to deny self, to set aside autonomy and independence, and walk in submission to the Lord and to others. This is so unnatural. We tend to be, even as Christians, like the young man who wants to get away from the authority of his father. So he joins the army. Only to learn that he has even less control of his life because there's a mean old sergeant that tells him when to get up and where to dig and what to eat and when to go to bed, and everything about his life is now controlled and under authority. Even worse than his father was. Our commander calls for obedience, for a submissive spirit as well. But he reminds us what? He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We live in fear. We live in self-advancement, an attitude of self-advancement. But Christ calls us as his soldiers, as his people, to have a submissive spirit, not only toward him, our commander, but toward those around us, our king and our comrades in arms. Well, exactly what does Paul mean that if we are filled by the Spirit of God, we will be submissive to one another in the Lord? Perhaps it would be helpful to consider for a moment Jesus' summary of the second half of the law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So instead of putting ourselves first, what does love do? Love thinks of the other. Before we speak, before we act, we will give them consideration. There's an example of this in Proverbs 31. The godly woman is described as one who opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. So love your neighbor as yourself is to have a submissive attitude toward them. It's one of putting them before yourself. And it is doing that in word and in deed. That means not saying some things that are hurtful, unkind, even though they might be true. It means not doing some things that you would prefer to do. Paul developed this thought in Romans chapter 14. He said, none of us lives to himself. No one dies to himself. Now he's talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols. And he argues that the idols are nothing, therefore sacrificing meat to idols is nothing, and you're free to eat the meat. But you might have the right to eat the meat. But if eating that meat brings a brother or sister to come and worship idols to fall into sin, then don't eat the meat. Give up your rights. So he goes on in chapter 15 of Romans. He says, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself. Whole sermon right there in that passage, isn't there? Paul is not talking about yielding on doctrinal issues. He's not talking about yielding on moral issues. He's talking about this huge gray area of life where we tend to want our wills, our ways, our preferences, our traditions over and against what other people want. But as the Spirit of God works in us, the mind of Jesus Christ, sanctifying us and making us more and more like our Savior, we will less and less demand our way and more yield to brothers and sisters in Christ because we love them. So if the Spirit is working in us, self-centeredness and pride are going to diminish. We will understand that whatever our gifts, whatever our abilities, whatever intellect we have, whatever power that we have in the world, it's ours as a gift from God. It's not because of something inherent in us that makes us better than others. It's by his grace, not our superiority. So there'll be a sense of humility, an attitude that doesn't exalt oneself. We'll understand that what we do have is of God. And that we personally do not have a corner on wisdom or on the good or the right way of things. That God uses others as well. God has gifted others as well. And we'll see our own frailty and our own sinfulness. And we will prefer, we will submit to brothers and sisters in Christ. As God works in us to sanctify us, we will grow in appreciation for others. We will grow in our appreciation for their gifts, for their thoughts, for their needs. And so Paul writes in Romans 12:10, "Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another." Now we understand how true love brings a submissive spirit. Take parents. How many times do parents give up their preferences, their desires? Again, we're not talking about right and wrong. We're not talking about doctrinal things. We're talking about preferences. And parents give them up because their children have different preferences or different desires. The adults want to go to Wendy's and they want to have a chicken cob salad. Of course, the children want to go to McDonald's and have McNuggets. So you know who wins. Often. In Philippians chapter 2, Paul emphasizes the same point regarding submission. He says, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." So those filled by the Holy Spirit, those who are dying to self and living to Christ, have a spirit of humility and a submissive spirit, esteeming others, valuing others, preferring others over against self. Related to a submissive spirit is a willingness to even let go of rights. So rather than insisting on not only our preferences, but our rights that we have, those that are yielding to the Holy Spirit and filled by the Spirit of God yield even rights in love to a brother or sister. Romans 14, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." As followers of Jesus Christ, filled and controlled by the Spirit of God, we're to have this kind of submissive spirit towards one another. Now, in the following verses, Paul is going to discuss some particulars of this. So what he has been doing in verse 21 is giving a rather general principle, and then in the remainder of the chapter, actually into chapter 6, he is going to give some specifics about submission. And what is interesting is that the world in general hates and rejects most all of this. Wives are to submit to their husbands. Husbands are to submit to Christ. Children are to submit to their parents. You'd think they might go for that one, but if you watch what's going on in the world, parents don't think children ought to submit to their authority. They need to be creative and express themselves and go for it. Paul even says that servants are to be submissive to their masters. God's ways, foolishness to the world. But wisdom to the people of God. Well, before Paul gets to these details, he gives this general principle. And I would like to just make some general thoughts of application in this area of submitting. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are first to be submissive to God. We are to have a submissive spirit toward God. And you say, well, I do. But do you? We're to have a submissive spirit towards God's commands. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So, a follower of Jesus Christ who is filled by the Spirit of God, yielded to the Spirit of God, is going to seek to obey God in all things. And we all profess to do that. But where we struggle is in submission to the decreed will of God. And things turn out like we don't think they should turn out. Things turn out with difficulty. Life is filled with hardship and adversity and storms, even shipwrecks, as the Apostle Paul could testify. And God is calling upon us to have a submissive spirit to His will. That which He is doing, which is beyond oftentimes our understanding, our comprehension, and certainly our comfort zone. We need to obey His commands, but we also need to submit to that which God is doing. As life unfolds and the headwinds come, we ought not to be bitter toward God. We ought not to question His wisdom. But as soldiers in His army, allow Him to deploy us as He will, to work as He will, and yield to His will. And we often struggle with that. But as believers, we are called to submit, to yield to others, and especially our God and our King, Jesus Christ. We're to submit, as we read earlier, to government authority. Paul points out in Romans chapter 13 that the powers that be are ordained of God. That is, as Scripture teaches clearly throughout, God raises up kings or presidents or governors or legislators. He raises them up as He will, and He takes them down as He will. He turns their heart, their minds, their wills as easily as a river turns. They are God's ministers, and we are to submit to them. They are accomplishing God's purposes, His will, sometimes, again, beyond our comprehension. Jesus said that we're to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God's. Now, there is an exception to this. The exception is when the government tells us to do something contrary to what God has told us to do. So then, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we should obey God, and we should trust God. And when the fiery furnace of the penalty, the punishment comes, we yield to that. Now, God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But Fox's Book of Martyrs and church history is full of many men and women who stood for the truth of God's word in the face of governmental oppression and died for it. Oftentimes difficult, difficult deaths. We need to obey those that have the authority over us that God has placed there for His purposes. By the way, in conjunction with this, you've heard the term, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. We look at things from our comfort. We look at things from what we like and enjoy and is pleasurable to us. But God is doing far more than meeting our pleasure needs. He's building a kingdom. And sometimes it's necessary in building that kingdom for soldiers to die. For soldiers to go through difficulty and hardship. And one of the testimonies of history is that sometimes under the most severe oppression, governmental oppression and religious oppression and so on. The church has grown and prospered and strengthened. It kind of gets rid of the weeds, so to speak. And the church grows and is vibrant. We don't know what God is doing. We look at it from our, oftentimes, Western, and I mean that in the sense of Western civilization, not Western states, Western perspective on liberty and justice and so on. And yet God is doing far more, and we need to yield to that, understand it, and in faith embrace it. There needs to be submission toward the church. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the writer says, "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that's unprofitable to you." In our sinfulness and in our arrogance, we sometimes want to assert our wills and our thinking in the church. It's not always easy to yield our wills to others. Pastors, almost by definition, are somewhat strong-willed. By education and by gifts, we have abilities and knowledge about doctrine and church polity and leadership, and want to assert that. And yet in practice, we must submit ourselves to the will and the mind of the session in the local church. That is, no matter what you might think, I am in submission to the session of this church, whatever my will might be. But those in the session must yield their will to the mind of the presbytery. And our presbytery has examples of the church in the session wanting to do something, and the presbytery says, "No, you cannot do that." And the session and the church yields, submits to that authority. And presbyteries must submit to the will and the mind of the assembly. That is the order of submission, and it's mutual submission, because the elders in the session are elders, the elders in the presbytery are fellow elders, and so on. That is the order of mutual submission within the body of Christ. But what is true for the leadership of the church is also true of the membership of the church. None of us, and this is my point, none of us, no matter what our position, is a law unto ourselves. None of us has the right to put our thinking and our wills above others. There are denominations today that foster autonomy and independence of the individual, of the church, and so on. In fact, in some groups, there's no one that seems to have authority. But this is not God's way. It's not scriptural. And it certainly isn't the way of the historic church. It's not always easy. We don't always get our way. But in faith, we trust God to accomplish His purposes and His glory through our submissive spirit and through those in authority as He has established it. We're convinced of Presbyterianism. But the attitude needs to be one of submission, no matter what the form of government. I believe, that Presbyterianism is soundly biblical. Not only is it soundly biblical, it is immensely practical and enjoyable. We need to rejoice in it and enjoy it and understand that God works through it for good and embrace it. Embrace the umbrella of protection and authority that is over us. all for the glory of our Lord. We know that the will of God is for us to have a submissive spirit. But Satan is active in stirring up rebellion against authority. He is seeking to tempt us to assert our minds and our wills. And he does that in our homes, in our churches, in our nation, and in the world. And it's only going to get worse. In fact, Paul tells Timothy, in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. All characteristic of those that walk in darkness. It ought not to be characteristic of those who walk in the light, who walk in righteousness. We who walk in the light, as Paul has expressed it in chapter 5, we who are the children of the living God are not to live with those kind of attitudes. Rather, as believers, you are to reflect your Savior and your King, Jesus Christ, who in anticipation of the agony of the cross prayed in Gethsemane, and he said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then Christ, who loved you, gave himself for you upon the cross of Calvary, submitting to the Father even to death. As children of light, in the fear of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are to have a submissive spirit toward others and toward God. This is God's will for you. And it is what God will use to bring glory to your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father, we rejoice in the love of Jesus Christ for us, in his willingness to submit even to death to redeem us. And Father, we pray that you would work in us by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that same mind, that same attitude, desiring above all the glory of Jesus Christ, loving our neighbor as ourself, preferring our brother and our sister over against ourselves. Father, work in us this Christ-like attitude and character, we pray, that we might live to the praise of your glory. For it's to that end we pray in Christ's name. Amen. If you will, please take your Trinity hymnal and turn to number 573. Stand as we sing, "Thy Way, Not Mine," 573.